to be honest with you.
Now, for somebody,
except for the old fart that's still sleeping up on the bleachers, one at a time. Go ahead.
You're not criticizing him for being right or wrong. You're saying he didn't get these things passed.
He's been ineffective.
That's relativism. I'm living in an absolute world where there is a right or wrong. And if Ron Paul was right 625 times, but they didn't pass, he's still right.
Well, you know what? Legislation is still going to get passed.
Good call, JP.
And the legislation is still going to get passed one way or another. Our governing bodies are still going to govern. And the legislators that are out there that are so rigidly ideological that sit there and they won't budge, they won't change, they won't do anything. They're just going to keep putting forward these bills. They're going to keep putting forward these bills and they keep failing. You know, there's groups of people out there that think that's the way it's supposed to go. But meanwhile, the laws are being made without them.
But I'm kind of where you are, JP, with that, though. We shouldn't have all those laws. They shouldn't be making the laws anyway. Forget all that. You know, that's the problem. We have too much bureaucracy and too many people involved in this law and that law and passing this one, that one. Get out. Do our borders.
I'm 57 years old. And what I see looking back over my life is 57 years of the people who believe in individual freedom compromising with the people who want more government control. And that's why we have thousands and thousands of laws on the books.
But
we don't want our legislators passing more laws. We want them to stop passing
JP,
more laws.
That's the same thing. Now you've got the Democrats and the Republicans. So there's the tug of war. How do we get rid of that?
Tug harder.
How do we stop that?
You do have to remember that you have to introduce new legislation to remove old legislation.
Good call. Yep. So, to get rid of it, we have to go through the process.
I would like to clarify real quick. I would like to clarify something that Isaiah brought up. He talked about how his precinct won, where went for Newt Gingrich.
Yes, well.
These are the caucus process is set up. It starts at the precinct level. So you could have 400 registered voters in your precinct, and out of the 400 voters, you have 25 that show up, and then it could be, and it very well could be because one of your neighbors is a Gingrich supporter and went out and rallied the troops or gave a really good speech during the meeting and persuaded people to vote for him.
Now, what was really interesting was that about 50% or more, I would actually probably say about 75% of the votes were cast even before anybody started talking. Actually, the
wow,
yeah, almost, yeah. Well, you know that's what was really interesting. You know who got the most support once people started talking?
Who?
Ron Paul.
Yeah, people love him.
No, you know,
when they start talking.
Well, he makes sense.
When they start talking,
he makes sense.
And one of the things that kind of dawned on me: people keep talking about how he's unelectable. I think that's total nonsense because
some of his foreign policies.
His foreign policy, but the thing is, he removes all of Obama's liberal agenda. You take every social issue, Ron Paul just basically says social agenda out the window. We have to talk about economics.
Okay, not true. That is absolutely not true. Ron Paul does not do that. I received a 7-page letter in the mail from Ron Paul talking about how pro-life he is and how he wants to amend the United States Constitution with a personhood amendment. That's okay. Mr. Get Your Government Off My Freedom is not going to do that. Right. There's some major problems with Ron Paul that will never allow him to be president.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. There are major problems with every single one of them.
That is true.
They all have their agenda, and how we're going to deal with that is, like you say, we got to vote them out. You got to make the changes at the local level and move on up. That's
yes,
the only
absolutely.
Thing you can do. Thank you, Sean Carey. Appreciate
you
coming in. Thank you, Isaiah Price.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
me.
Appreciate you coming in. We've got JP's Common Sense coming up, and then there's more. Don't go away. You're with Broadview.
1270, the Buzz. The Buzz.
He's breaking off! Everyone to the life rafts! Jimmy, what are you doing? To the rafts with you!
It's fine. I'm good.
What are you talking about, man?
I got Charter Internet Express last week. They increased download speeds from 12 megs to 15 and tripled the upload speed.
Who cares?
I can download 50 pictures in 53 seconds.
It's the Kraken!
I can upload a 90 megabyte video in 4 minutes. I can do anything!
It's got me!
You think this sea creature is powerful? Ha ha! I laugh in its faces!
Charter Internet Express. This much power could go to your head. Call 1-888-GET-CHARTER to get speeds up to 15 megs at only $19.99 a month for up to 12 months. Limited time only. Qualifying residential customers only. 12-month term available when you bundle. Base term 6 months. Standard rates apply after promotional period. Taxes, fees, surcharges, equipment, install, extra PC magazine report, 9/11. Restrictions apply.
Mitt Romney believes to strengthen this nation, we have to begin by strengthening the family. It's the place where America's future is born. Conservatives across America who recognize the value of every human life are supporting Mitt Romney for president. Founder of Women Affirming Life, Mary Ann Glendon.
The pro-life movement has worked so hard for so many years in the effort to change people's hearts and minds on the life issues that, like Ronald Reagan, like Henry Hyde, Mitt Romney should be welcomed as a great success story for the pro-life movement.
National Review has said Romney is a natural ally of social conservatives. No other Republican governor had to deal with both human cloning and court-imposed same-sex marriage. He was on the right side of both issues. Mitt Romney, because it's time we start believing in America again.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just have a website, no. AdvanceAutoParts.com is an online parts palace. Stocked with so many quality parts and detailed product info, you'll want to leap through your screen. For safety's sake, just stick to clicking, man. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com and save 15% off replacement parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See AdvanceAutoParts.com for details.
Gardening in our region has challenges, but it is not impossible to have a beautiful yard. Hi, this is Marnie Brennan, Garden Coach. Join me each Saturday at 8 a.m. on 1270 The Buzz for the Impatient Gardener and Interactive Garden Talk Show. You'll hear local and regional gardening guests at Saturdays at 8 a.m. on 1270 The Buzz, brought to you in part by the Garden Shop Nursery on Mayberry Drive at the Big White House.
Unusually beautiful Garden Shop Nursery.
Welcome back to Broadview on 1270 The Buzz, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
Well, thank you for coming back with us. With me, JP, which we're going to get to JP's common sense here in a couple of minutes. Isaiah Price, who's an actor, radio personality, stand-up comedian, and politically minded. You have your opinions, that's for sure, right, Isaiah?
And I do.
And Sean Carey, who is a political columnist for the News and Review. Every week, that must be grueling, Sean.
I love it.
You love it?
I sell papers and get hate mail. It's great.
Nothing else in the world. So kind of wrap it up for us, Sean. What's next after the caucus? What's next for the candidates and what's next?
Okay. What the candidates are doing is, in order to receive the Republican presidential nomination, they have to amass a certain amount of delegates. The number that is going to be needed to win the nomination is going to be 1,144 delegates. The AP is reporting that at this point, Mitt Romney has 87 delegates. Newt Gingrich has 26, Rick Santorum has 14, and Ron Paul has 4. So that's what they're doing. All of the early states are proportional, which means that the delegates are awarded based on the number, based on the voting percentages. Nevada is also proportional. There is a dust up as far as Florida is concerned. We'll see what happens because Florida wanted to make their delegates winner take all. Well, anyway, what's going to happen now is, these numbers are very, very telling. With Romney at 87 and Gingrich at 26, it's showing a wide margin. And Nevada is going to be no different because Nevada is still proportional, but they're forecasting that Romney could win Nevada by as much as 20 points.
How many more caucuses are there before we just know it's Romney? I mean, how many more are we going to have to go through?
Super Tuesday is March 6th. All of the states will eventually vote.
All of the states.
All of the states
and
will eventually
vote. By what
vote.
Time will they be done voting?
Voting has concluded now.
All states,
Nevada.
I mean,
no,
all states.
It'll reach into the summertime.
And what if there's no more candidates? What if Ron Paul has dropped out and Newt Gingrich has dropped out? Santorum says he's going the hall, but what if he doesn't?
Well, Ron Paul won't drop out. We know that.
Yeah.
And at least
he's not going to give up.
I project that by Super Tuesday, this race will be wrapped up. And if where it's important to note is by the margins by which Mitt Romney is winning. I mean, if it was Mitt Romney by 2 or 3 points over Newt Gingrich, then the race is going to continue. With Romney pulling in these large double-digit victories over his opponents,
for sure,
this is showing that it's not that Gingrich is not going to be able to credibly stay in if he's getting into just picking up just a few votes. And after a few short contests, it's going to go to winner take all. So whoever wins the state gets all the delegates.
It's going to be
interesting
to follow.
It'll be over by Super Tuesday, March 6th. It'll be done.
All right. Sean Carey, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Isaiah Price.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. And check out Isaiah has his own radio show now called Stimulus. So you can catch that on another.
Sounds like a sex show.
Here. Speaking of sex.
Not that kind of stimulus.
Get Bill Clinton stimulant. As your host, your co-host.
We better get to your common sense. What's it about today, your moment of common sense? It's about unemployment.
Unemployment.
Hit it.
Yesterday, unemployment stats were released by the Labor Department. According to them, the unemployment rate dropped to 8.3% last month. If you believe that, I have a bridge to sell you. The government, and by that I mean the Obama administration, is lying to us. And the amazing part is the sheer brass balls audaciousness of that lie. They can't hide the actual numbers behind the calculations, so they know that people comfortable with numbers, people like me, will examine them and scope out the truth. But they don't care. They have a president to get reelected. That's the main priority, and they assume most people are too lazy or too gullible to check those numbers. It's an evil trick to play. I ran into somebody at the grocery store yesterday who's been looking for a job for a year and a half and asked him how things are going. "Worse than the last time I saw you," he answered. "You didn't find anything yet?" "No, I didn't find anything, but they announced unemployment is down to 8.3, which is a good thing overall, I guess. But it means other people are finding work, so apparently it's just me." His depression was palpable. That's what happens when the government puts out a false story. People believe it and measure themselves against it. The produce section at Scolari's wasn't a good place to explain how that 8.3% number was concocted and why it's baloney. But I wrote a column about it December 16th titled Unemployment Statistics for Dummies, and I can cover the most important points in about 30 seconds. First of all, the unemployment rate has nothing to do with the number of people receiving unemployment compensation, a common misconception. The unemployment rate is arrived at by doing a survey. It's called the Current Population Survey, and it's no different and no more accurate than your average political poll, which attempts to guess who will win the next election. Second, they don't call people on the telephone and ask if they're unemployed. They ask them if they're employed. They're counting people with jobs, not people without jobs, and that's an important difference because it means they calculate the number of unemployed. And once the government starts calculating, they have a chance to finagle. The Obama administration's finagle is skewing the classification of people in the survey who don't answer, "Yes, I'm employed." Those people, the people who don't answer yes, are increasingly marked down as not being members of the labor force. Here's the crucial factoid. The labor force of the United States of America has always risen. Always. Until 2009, when Barack Obama became president. An odd coincidence. The population of the United States, according to the Census Bureau, increases by 225,000 each month, which is 2.7 million people a year. So the population increased by 8 million since Barack Obama became president 3 years ago. Yet somehow, incredibly, miraculously, none of those 8 million joined the labor force, because the Labor Department claims the labor force is the same as it was on January 20th, 2009, when he took the oath of office. The level of dishonesty gets worse when you realize the United States is not a normal country. A big chunk of our population growth comes by way of immigration, which leans heavily toward people of working age. Demographers, not Labor Department bureaucrats, but real demographers, figure the labor force is actually growing faster than our population, at about 250,000 per month, which means about 9 million people are missing from the official Labor Department stats. Economists are busy recalculating yesterday's numbers and figure the real unemployment rate is 11.5%. And I'm guessing it's much higher than that. The 243,000 jobs added last month is less than the amount needed to stay even. And if you want a cold splash of reality that will shock you to your core, we need about 1 million new jobs every month to get the unemployment rate down where it belongs by the end of Obama's 4 years. The president loves to claim that he's created 3 million jobs, but listen closely. At the end of 2008, the Labor Department says there were 143 million people with jobs. Now, 3 years later, there are 141 million people with jobs. Nearly 2 million fewer jobs, even though 9 million more people want them. Guess what? You can't have lower unemployment at the same time you have fewer jobs. That's today's dose of common sense.
Now, don't you think maybe possibly some of that is entrepreneurial? I mean, people who were in the number, 9 million, plus two, including me and you.
Yeah.
Some of those that were on unemployment at one time, of course, are not being counted. But don't you think some of them have gone off and done other things? I notice a lot of people doing part-time jobs, a little part-time here, a little part-time there.
Well, presumably the survey would catch that. If they call you on the telephone and ask you, are you working, and you're doing something entrepreneurial, you would say yes.
You think you would? Or would you say no?
That's a good question. That's the trouble with doing this by survey.
That's a good question. Thank you. That does make sense. Somewhere there, JP. Thanks very much to my guest this hour, Isaiah Price. Thanks for dropping by with us.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Sean Carey.
Thank you.
Check out his political column every week in the News and Review. And thank you, Sean. We'll be back, though. Boone Cutler's here, and we're going to hear about warfighters when we come back right here. KBZZ Sparks Reno and Americom Broadcasting Station. Your news is next.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. Republican voters in Nevada are weighing in on the presidential race at their precinct caucuses.
I'm so tired of the polar extremes. You know, we need to have people work together in Congress and everywhere else. So.
CBS News political consultant Fred Backus.
It's been the same two concerns for Republican voters in every state so far, and Nevada is no exception. More than half of caucus voters say the economy is their most important issue, and 4 in 10 say beating Barack Obama is the most important quality in a candidate, far ahead of having strong moral character, being a true conservative, and having the right experience.
Polls show Mitt Romney with a big lead over his rivals. Newt Gingrich says he's hoping for a second place finish, while Rick Santorum and Ron Paul are pretty much bypassing the state. A winter storm has dumped 6 feet of snow on parts of Colorado and is now causing all sorts of problems in the Midwest. Mike Jones is with the Omaha Public Power District. He's not sure how long it'll be before all the lights are back on.
We don't know. It's very difficult to predict. We still have high winds in a lot of areas. We still have snow, and even more to the point, we have a lot of icy road conditions, and that's making it very difficult for our crews to get to some of the troubled locations.
The winter storm warnings up for parts of Nebraska, Kansas, and Iowa. Thousands of people across Syria are taking to the streets to show their support for residents of the country's third largest city. Activists say dozens of people have been killed in homes in a government assault. Russia and China voted down a U.N. Security Council resolution aimed at ending the violence. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton.
As a tyrant in Damascus brutalizes his own people, America and Europe stand shoulder to shoulder. We are united alongside the Arab League in demanding an end to the bloodshed and a democratic future for Syria.
President Bashar Assad's regime denies an assault even took place in Homs. It says his enemies are making things up to try to force him from power, but he's not going anywhere. Increasing insurgent violence, including suicide attacks and roadside bombs, made last year the deadliest ever for civilians caught in the Afghanistan war. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
This UN report claims more than 3,000 Afghan civilians were killed last year. That's up 8% from the year before. Most were blamed on roadside bombs, but the number of suicide attacks in public places was up 80%. Taliban insurgents were responsible for most of the killings, but the report blames all combatants.
American military officials say they're doing all they can to minimize civilian casualties caused by Allied action. Police have arrested about a half dozen people as they attempt to clear campers out of a park near the White House. The National Park Service says no one's being evicted from the Occupy encampment and that some tents are being allowed to stay, minus mattresses and sleeping bags. One officer was reported hit in the face by a thrown brick. This is CBS News.
Today, my journey to help